Well, as you know, Chris is in California with a few of the other staff. And I have the privilege to bring you a word today. I am feeling, I don't know if you can tell my voice a little different, so I hope to be able to do this without coughing too much. To start off with, I want to do a visual demonstration of a couple of things. And one of them is that in my hand, I have an object. I know it's probably difficult to see. It's not a cell phone. It's a tablet. But this object is a collection of parts. And these parts are organized in a complex fashion to provide some kind of a functionality. It does what it does because the person who designed it organized these parts in a particular way, and it has a certain functionality to it. However, this does not grow. It doesn't really change. It is what it is, and eventually it will wear out. What it is, its growth, and how it acts is all determined because of the man who engineered it, the engineering plan. This has a name. It's called a Samsung Galaxy Tab 3. You actually may hear people say iPhones, phones, tablets, whatever. I love my phone. But you know what? Your phone will never love you back. This tab will never love you back. This object has no emotions. It has no life. It has no spirit. And I'm using this analogy. I'm using this as an example of what I would call an organization. Now, for the second part of my demonstration, I'll walk down here for a minute. And I'm going to snatch up this little boy here. And he's going to be part of my sermon. Now, this little guy here, why is he up here? Well, he's cute. See? Wave. Anyway, this little guy is also an organization of parts. However, his parts were miraculously organized and are very complex. Are you complex? You will be. He has some predictable traits, but he will become something that is unpredictable at this point in time as he grows and develops. A year ago, he was not here. He's just now getting to the point where he's able to start walking. This little guy's parts are going to grow and change. His growth is organic. It happens because that's what his body is going to do. He has a name also. His name's Jameson Cassidy. Happens to be my grandson. And his family will tell him, I love you. And this object, unlike this one, can love us back. He has emotions. He has life. And he has a spirit. I use this him, object, my boy, as an example of an organism. He is not an organization. He is an organism. He has life, spirit, and a future that we cannot predict. Thanks for helping out. Now, what has that got to do with anything? Well, I wanted to ask you this question. Please look in your notes. What about a church? Well, A church might be an organization. This was our example of an organization. Simplistic, however, example it was. Well, a church is an organization that may very well look like a business. What is a business? A business is an entity whose primary objective is selling products and making money. An organization, a company, a church may not have, or organization in general, does not have emotions or feelings. We're talking about a business. Have you ever heard when a business decision is made, for example, like a layoff, and people get emotional about it, and the leaders of the business may very well say, this is not personal, it's just business. A business and a church has an organization, a structure, has officers and an objective. Its direction is controlled by the top, its leadership. But that also limits the growth of that organization. In a business, if the leaders say, we're going to do something new, we'll hire new people, it grows. Or we're cutting back on that business, it shrinks. The top controls an organization. So my question is this. Should a church be run like a business? No, I hear a few no's. That's a good answer. Thanks for helping out. No, I bring forth this morning that a church should be an organism, like Little Jameson. A church's objective as an organism is the building up of relationships with God and with others. It's shown through the love and concern that we express, that the love and concern that is expressed by its members. There will obviously be some aspects of a church that look like an organization, but that is not the primary purpose. A church that is an organism does not have its growth limited by its structure or by its leaders. The growth in individuals and in the congregation are controlled by you, the members. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ, with many different parts, all of them working together for God's glory. In 1 Corinthians, if you want to quickly flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 12, excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." And jumping to verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." We see Paul talking about the body of Christ, the living members, as an organism. Do you remember 2 weeks ago when we had our conference? Brother Tim said several times when he was talking about their groups that they rely on organic growth. Organic growth is a natural way of growing. It's driven by its members. Just as that little boy, his parts are going to grow independently. The brain, the heart are not going to tell it what to do. It's just going to do it because he grows, we grow organically. Organic growth happens at the membership. and it's sometimes referred to at the grassroots level. That's my little explanation or my view of the difference between an organization and an organism. And the body of Christ, I believe, should be an organism. Now on to the main part of the message. God has expectations of His believers. But what are those expectations? The Bible has a lot of books and a lot of chapters. But have you ever wondered, can this be simplified? Can I explain it in a very simple set of generalized commands? Well, we see that in the Bible, in the New Testament, that Jesus specifically called out three commands that at least provides a good starting point for living the Christian life. And I want to talk about those three commands. If we go to Matthew 22, Matthew chapter 22, and these verses, probably a lot of you probably already have them memorized. Matthew 22, starting back in verse 34, Pharisees are coming to challenge Jesus. They're trying to trap him. But verse 34, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment.'" So the first simple step for anybody is you need to have a relationship with God and to love Him with everything that is within us. We can do this on a personal level as we spend personal time through prayer and reading of God's Word. Those are both essential and great things to do to build our relationship and show our love for God. We can also do this as a congregation as we get together. We get together on Sundays here now to sing hymns of praise, to listen to His Word, and to celebrate the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf through the Lord's Supper. Why do we do all of these things? We do it for the glory of God. That should be our main motivation in all that we do, that it glorifies God. But continuing on to the second simple command, in that same section of the passage of Matthew 22, Jesus continued, and He said in verse 39, "And the second command is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Number one, love the Lord your God. Number two, love your neighbors as yourself. Well, the second one, we're told and commanded to have a relationship with our neighbors. And our neighbors, who are our neighbors? It's all the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, at work, at home. We should be doing this on a day-by-day basis. But although we can do this day-by-day on a personal level, we can also do this through our church. That is side by side with other brothers and sisters in serving our communities and reaching out to our communities. This could be when guests come in our front door, come on our campus for some reason or another. It could also be when we go out into the neighborhoods, reaching out to our communities. And why should we do this? Because we are told that we are called to impact the world. And impacting the world means reaching out to our neighbors. Those are the two greatest commandments. But let's talk about a third one. If we go to John chapter 13, in the Pew Bibles, that's page 900. In John chapter 13, going down to verse 33. And verse 33 says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Have you ever pondered or thought about this? You probably have read that before. You may be familiar. This is right at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. You ever wonder why he didn't say it when the Pharisees questioned him? Was it because he knew that human nature was such that we are selfish people, and that he did not want that for his church on earth? Maybe he needed to reiterate it and explicitly speak and say, "You are to love one another, for this, by this, they will know that you are my disciples." Well, to tell you the truth, it doesn't really matter why he said it so late. The only important thing is that Jesus commanded us to do it. How do we love one another? Well, we do this by developing special relationships through spending time with one another. We get together, study the Bible, learn about one another's lives, living life together, building disciples. And the world will know that we are his disciples if we build these relationships by multiplying disciples. I turn your attention now to the insert that was sent to you. That was in your bulletin. I told you that at the beginning, we want to update your information. And on one side is the typical contact information where you can put in your address and name and those kinds of things. But I'd have you look at and flip over to the back side. And this is what I want you to consider. Love the Lord, your God. On Sundays, we come together to show the Lord that we love Him by worshiping Him, by singing hymns of praise. But here's my question to you. Are we giving Him our best? Does God want our best? Well, I'll answer that question for you. God does want our best in all things. If you wonder about that, you can look up Genesis 4 and look at the story of Cain and Abel when they were both offering up sacrifices and worshiping God. God wants our best. We heard the choir just before the sermon. They sang together. It sounded great. But if I took these folks behind me and put them out there, scattered them around, what do you think that song would have sounded like? It would have been watered down and probably not much. Obviously, if we're singing praises to the Lord, it sounds better and is more worshipful if we're together. So here's what I'm asking you to do to consider today. In worshiping, in the worship service, I would ask you that for the next 4 weeks, you consider sitting up on the first 10 rows. Moving up, getting closer together, worshiping God, praising His name through song. I'll let you know, there's plenty of room in these first 10 rows. We got plenty of space. And by the way, two people on a row is not filling the row. It's okay, actually, to have, I don't know, 3 or 4? 10 people. We can fit 15, 20 people across the row. We have plenty of space up here. Come up. I'll be sitting in row number 4 or so next week. Come up and join me. Can you do this for just 4 weeks and see if it makes a difference? Do you want to give God your best? Does God expect your best? He does. And so it's a question then, are we here to worship and praise God, or are we here to do something else? We're here for God's glory. Remember that? Love the Lord your God, and we do it all for God's glory. Let's glorify the Lord. 4 weeks is all I'm asking. Come forward. Give it a try. If after 4 weeks you don't think it makes a difference, go wherever. If you are willing to do that, or if you are doing it currently, check that box. Next to it says worship service. I'm doing that. Or I will do it for just 4 simple weeks. The body, our worship will be improved, and the growth of the Spirit in this building will be raised. If you don't check the box right now, okay, I want you to talk to Jim Jennings. Jim Jennings is kind of overseeing. Let him know that over the week you've prayed about this. You've studied the story of Cain and Abel. You know that God wants your best. Yes, I will do it. Give him a call. Send him a note. Let Jim Jennings know that's what you're going to do. We are also called to love our neighbor. Well, how are we going to do that? As a church, we will be showing our love to our neighbors by sponsoring some events in the community. These are not only times for children to be involved, but it's also time for us to meet their parents. Some of these details have not been worked out. Some are in motion right now. And I would ask that you consider being part of one of these. I'm going to mention 3 events. I want you to consider at least either being part of one of these events or finding out, getting more information about the upcoming events. What does it mean? If you just want to find out about what that means, then that box that says community, I forgot what the exact words are, but the community, I want you to check that box, that you're interested in hearing about at least one event. Those events that are coming up include the summer mobile VBS program, where we're going to go into the community, into the apartments, with little, what I would call, backyard Bible clubs. But that's being worked out. We've already got that in motion. But if you are interested in hearing about that, and again, you can participate in a couple ways. One is you can say, I will consider using my house as one of those spots physically. Or I will be there to help out, getting to know or register children, whatever else has to be done. That's the logistics. Or I will just come and just talk to the parents that are there. Another one like that is sports camp. That's going to happen in July. That's the second one. That's in the future. That's going to be another opportunity. That's going to be on this campus down in our ball field. If you want to hear about how you can participate in that, check that box. The other one that I want to bring up is the one we're doing right now. We do it once a month. It's called Skate Night. Skate Night, yeah, we need people to register. We need people to hand out skates. We need people to work the concession stand. There are jobs there to be done. But you know what the parents are doing at that time? I'm going to guess most of them are like me. We're not getting up there on skates and breaking something. So we are probably sitting in the bleachers or hanging out, waiting for our kid. And we require the parents to stay. It's a captive audience. The parents aren't going anywhere. You think it'd be very difficult just to strike up a little conversation with them? So, if you are interested, if you would be willing to at least hear about these two upcoming events, or in some way be part of Skate Night, which I'm not, you know, we have some things, but I think we should reach out a little bit. I would ask that you check off that one that says community. It says I want to. If you are involved, like for example, those involved in Skate Night right now, check that one off. So we know. I mean, we already know, but I mean, check it off. If you want to be involved, let us know. Or again, if after praying about it and considering it, and you haven't handed that in today, you can contact Ken Keyes, and Ken Keyes will give you the details and keep you up. And put you on a mailing list to keep you up with whatever's going on. Last one. And that's just one event. I'm interested in just being participating in one event. The last one of the third commandment was to love one another. As Jesus loved us, we are to love one another. How can we know and love one another if we don't take time to build a relationship with one another? It just doesn't going to happen. If we don't do that, this community doesn't see us any different than anybody else. They will not recognize us as disciples of Christ. And Christ said, by this they will know that you are my disciples. And how might that be accomplished? Well, one of the ways is in a small group setting. Many of you are part of a small group now, and that's great. But I want to start up a couple of new small groups. And these small groups have the intention of mixing people cross-generationally or by ages so that actually the people will be in a group with some people they have not ever spent time with. To build a relationship, you have to do that. Now, I don't know if these groups will meet on Sunday or they'll meet during the weekdays. It'll depend on who responds. Who says, for 3 months, here's the challenge. 3 months, I'll give this a try. 3 months, I will be part of another group. Now, it can be in addition to the group you're already part of, or it can be in place of that for just 3 months. And these groups, like I said, based on the response, will basically be mixing people together, different ages, and ages may only be 10 or 15 years apart, but it may be that you've never spent any time with this person. Or, you know, we need to mix and mix these groups up a little bit. And I'm looking for folks who are interested in building a relationship to love one another because Christ commanded us to do so. If you are at least interested in being considered or interested in hearing more about it, I would like for you to go ahead and check that box that's next to small groups. If, again, you don't check it, but later on you say, you know, our church really needs this. We need to mix together and learn about each other, what's going on in our lives, and to love one another, then you can contact Bob Cassidy. That's me. Contact me and let me know that you are interested. Now, I had that little demonstration up front. Little boy's gone, but I got that one. When a church is functioning as an organism, as the body of Christ, we are not strictly and primarily just, quote, a religious organization. We need to show our love for God, for our neighbor, and for one another. I'm sure you've heard all of these things before. But there's a difference between hearing it and studying it and doing it. So I'm asking you for a couple of these challenges for 4 weeks, 3 months, one event. How will you actually start doing or continue doing what you already are doing? Being involved in some way. And a church that's an organism grows organically. That's where organic growth comes from. And that's because it's through the members at the grassroots level. Leaders cannot make this happen. Only you can make it happen. When I was thinking about that, how many of you here remember Smokey the Bear? Anybody? Remember what Smokey the Bear used to say? He'd come on and give his fire prevention, and then he would say, "Only you can prevent forest fires." All right? Well, I'm going to say, "Only you can make the body of Christ grow organically." This is not something I want. This is not me saying it. I'm saying it, but this is not me coming up with it. This is not an original idea. We've seen the three commandments that Jesus told his disciples to do. And the result is a body that loves one another. It's about relationships with one another. It's about love for one another. Love of God, love of your neighbor, and love of one another. And love is action. Love is an action word. It's not study. It's not knowledge. It's your heart reaching out to those around you, to reaching out the one who's the Almighty. El Shaddai, God Almighty. That's why we're here. If you're here for any other reason, that's not what Jesus wanted for his church. So, giving you those opportunities, find out who wants to step up, who wants to get involved, who wants to impact the world by multiplying disciples for God's glory. That's what we do. That's our vision. That's our primary objective. Now, so I leave you with this question. Are you, will you, joyfully and willingly obey what Jesus commands us to do? I hope that you've had an opportunity. I don't know. I hope you had your insert. Have your name on it. Check off what is appropriate. What is what you are willing to do. One of those things, two of them, whatever. What action will you take? How will you put this into effect? How will you apply it to your life? What's the focus that you want to look at to make this body glorifying to God Almighty? Please fill those out or contact Jim Jennings, Ken Keyes, or myself, and let us know that you are on board and that you want to see us fulfill the vision that Jesus had for his church, his body on this planet, on this earth. Please hand those in during the collection time. And I appreciate your consideration in doing those things.